Indulge in holiday cravings with the nutrition you need from Ka'Chava's All-in-One Whole Body Shake. It's 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Try their newest flavors, like the limited edition Chocolate Mint. With Ka'Chava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to Ka'Chava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, and use code FITNESS for 15% off.
Welcome back, all. I hope this looks okay. The table for podcasting is one of the last things I haven't yet figured out, so I'm still on a kind of temporary table, so apologies. Hopefully it looks okay. Welcome back, everyone. Thank you so much as ever, everyone, for continuing to get in touch, sharing your thoughts and opinions. The best place to do so, comment section below. And if you have a longer story, maybe with some pictures, you can email hi@tuesdayatdobbs.com. Let's start this week. Issues with Chinese brand motorcycles. Not specifically bikes made in China. For example, BMW makes some of their motorbikes in China. I'm talking about the Chinese brand motorbikes. Take a listen to this from James, a gentleman who I was on the Moroccan road trip with. We had a brief exchange of messages after the trip, because when we were on the trip, James was telling me he bought a Vosges Rally 300. And he admits it was his mistake. He ended up breaking one of the front suspension arms of his Vosges Rally 300. This was back in March. He tried, or has tried continually, to get this suspension arm for his bike. He hasn't managed to. It's now November, and still on the Vosges website, you can see a picture here, it still says this part is not available. So from March of 2025, all the way through until November, as it stands, and still there's no product in stock yet, he's been without his Vosges. So he's had to do a bit of research to try and figure out, look, from head office Vosges in the UK, this product doesn't exist. I can't get it. There isn't the support there to get certain parts like this. So James was then looking at some of the things going on at EICMA, and there was a post for a new CF Moto that popped up. I found this very interesting. And the very first comment that popped up about this new CF Moto being launched is someone saying, yes, look, these new CF Motos look great, but can you sort out the after sale service? That was the top comment for the new CF Moto that's incoming. So much so has been the issue from James with the CF Moto. He's ended up selling it and moving on to a Japanese bike, I think a Yamaha Tenere, just because he knows he's going to get the user support. If something goes wrong, he can get the parts. The dealer network, the distribution is there. What you're going to have to do if you buy one of these Chinese brand motorbikes, and I found this especially interesting, is figure out how you can find a distributor, for example, in Europe. There is one such company, and this comes courtesy of James, so save this if you do have a Chinese brand motorbike. I'm not joking, this is the name of it, UncleWang.net. That's the name of the shop that specializes in selling parts for Chinese bikes. Interestingly, they also sell parts for the British or the European brands that Chinese companies have bought, such as Moto Marini and other brands like that. So if you've got any of these kind of brands of bikes that the Chinese owned, you need to be saving this website. And look here, you can see on the Vosges website, this part is not available. Notify me when available. But if I go to UncleWang.net, there it is. GY300, original shock absorber for the Vosges Rally 300, £290. That is how you're going to have to get around it until the Chinese network builds across Europe, which I'm sure it will. But until that point, you're going to have to get creative. James, thank you. I move on. Electric vehicle owners could soon be taxed further. It's so classic. It's so classic. So electric vehicle owners in the UK, they have enjoyed zero road tax a year and lots of other benefits, huge tax savings and incentives to buy it. Those huge tax savings are disappearing very, very quickly. So right now, if you have an electric vehicle, you'll now pay exactly the same amount of road tax as any other vehicle. On top of that, the government is considering to imminently announce a 3p per mile additional tax on top of the current annual road tax, specifically for electric vehicles. Take a listen to this. This is from electriccarshare.com. The government's expected to announce a 3p per mile road tax for electric vehicle owners in the budget on the 26th of November 2025 with implementation plan for 2028 following consultation. The new charge will be paid on top of the existing £195 annual vehicle excise duty, costing the average EV driver an estimated £250 a year. That's based on 8,300 miles annually. So for me personally, I would be looking at, with the mileage I do, if it's an electric vehicle, I'd be looking at probably £600 a year for the pay per mile electric tax on top of £195. I would be looking at around £800 a year for road tax if I had an EV. So now it's gone full circle where the government is going to start actively punishing people for driving electric cars. And it leaves people with a mixed message. Well, what on earth am I supposed to do now? I'll do one more wrap up here from Autocar. They say this: the report suggests that EV drivers would be required to estimate and declare their annual mileage when they pay vehicle excise duty. If they exceed this mileage, they'll be required to pay for the overage. If they travel fewer miles, they will get credit for the following year. But it remains unclear how mileages would be monitored or audited. That is the most ludicrously complicated nonsense I've ever heard. I think pay per mile could potentially work, but there has got to be a better idea than that. And also, if we're being level-headed, look, it's not fair that electric vehicle owners pay per mile and no one else has to. There has to be a level-headed approach where everyone's treated fairly here, whether it's electric drivers or petrol drivers. Madness, utter madness. Bottom line is, from a government, it's a desperate money grab, isn't it? How can we get as much money as possible? We don't want to lose a penny in revenue, so we can't keep helping out electric vehicle owners. I move on. More positive news. A rock solid rock star. This is from Tom. Freddie, your bit on used Harleys last week inspired me to send you some pics of one of my favourite bikes from the 6 or 7 Harleys I've owned. It was, notice the word was, it was a 1200 Evo Sportster. At the time, I was commuting from Hackney to Soho in London, in all weathers, and often a 200-mile round trip to see family. I left it uncovered, parked in the rain and snow, rode it in all weathers, all year round. I probably didn't service it as regularly as I should have done, and barely washed it, and it never missed a beat. I put thousands of miles on it, and didn't have a single problem. Even the chrome looks spotless with a quick hose down. It started life as a standard Sportster 1200, custom, but I modified a few parts and stripped it down to be as narrow as possible to easily fit through traffic. I didn't even have mirrors or a speedo, which is probably a bit foolish in hindsight. Sadly, it was written off when it was hit by a car and beyond saving. I've since had other bigger Harleys, both older and newer, and whilst I do enjoy them, none have quite the soul and character, or even the good memories that I had with the Sportster. And that's Tom. Tom, these are perennially popular, ever popular, probably an all-time classic motorcycle, these Evo Sportsters. Incredibly, the Evo Sportster came out, I think, in 1986, and it ran all the way through to 2022. I believe there were big upgrades in 2004, both to the engine and the bike in general. But certainly, if you go from a 1986 all the way through to about a 2003, you're getting one of the properly old-school Sportsters. Then if you want a bit more tech, but still the same heart, 2004 onwards. So let's have a look at these. Those are some of the key dates. On top of that, another date to mention if you're considering one of these. 2007. That's when fuel injection came in. So if you want a really old school one, It's 1986 to 2003. If you want a more modern one, it's 2004 to 2006. If you want fuel injection on top of that, it's 2007 to 2022. It really is incredible that they kept selling these all the way till 2022. The heart of this bike goes all the way back to the mid-1980s. So let's have a look and see what I can find. I've had so many people messaging me saying the Evolution, the Evo Sportster, is the best motorcycle Harley Davidson have ever made. I had at least 8 people messaging me exactly that. I even had people who hate Harley Davidson saying the only Harley Davidson that's even worth mentioning is the Evolution Sportster. So what I found here, one of the really old school ones, it's carbureted, it's probably old school. It came out 6 years after the launch of the Sportster. It's a 1992 model, US spec, shipped over from the USA in 2021. It's going for, on Facebook Marketplace, £3,750. To the untrained eye, this looks exactly the same as a 2021-2022 model, but this is a properly old school one. Just take a look at that. For me personally, that is, just as the Bonneville is the blueprint of what a motorbike, a Triumph should be, the Harley Davidson Sportster for me is the blueprint of what a true Harley Davidson should be. It's stripped back, it's just beautiful metal on display. Nothing there to get in the way of the riding experience, just you, a good sized engine and a beautiful silhouette. You know, for these bikes that are so highly regarded, even here in the UK, £3,750, that is not a lot of money. You're not going to be losing much money, if any at all, on this bike. Incredibly simple. Incredibly easy to work on, very, very well built, solid and robust. And on top of that, I'll give you a bit of insider information. I was chatting to a gentleman at a garage, and he said, and he is a huge Harley fan, he works on Harley Davidsons all the time, he said in his mind, the best era of Harley Davidson is anything up to 2001. After that, they started having to listen more to the shareholders and making sure they're making financial sense and that everyone's happy within the powers that be. But up to the year 2000, it was all just beautiful, solid metal. Bikes after that, the gentleman in question said that once you start taking them apart, you're starting to see more and more plastic as the years go on. But this model of Harley Davidson, this is good old metal through and through. Tom, thank you so much. On to Confidence Gone. This is from Oliver. Freddie, last week I got myself my first motorcycle. After wanting one for nearly 10 years, I finally got a 2025 Honda GB350S, and wow, it's amazing. Retro vibes, glorious sound, and it's a looker. I know riding season's over now, but I still want to enjoy it as much as possible before winter sets in. But here's my issue. Today I went for a morning ride in 8 degrees Celsius with wet roads, thinking the only issue would be me staying warm. Boy, was I wrong. I got into a roundabout doing roughly 25 kilometers an hour, and as I'm going round it, my rear wheel slips and I low side it. My brand new bike is no longer brand new. After owning it for less than a week, I don't know what caused the crash. It might have been gravel oil or just me leaning too much in the wet and cold asphalt. I'm not quite sure, but now I'm tense when riding in the wet and in general scared of going round wet roundabouts, which was not an issue before the slide. How do I get, this is a question for everyone, how do I get the confidence back and enjoy the riding that I've been longing for so long? Additionally, how many times have you gone down and has it ever ruined the confidence in your riding in a way that affected your riding? Oliver, yeah, I've never gone down on the road, but I've fallen off-road and I promise you, you're not alone. It does knock your confidence. You end up going rigid. You lose all of your confidence. But I like to have the same attitude in all areas of life with this. Fear, right now, fear is never the issue. The issue is our relationship with fear. What I mean by that, it's fine to be scared, nervous, apprehensive of something. That's completely normal. You don't need to try and fight that. Right now, you've got the fear. You're scared of going round roundabouts when it's wet, just like I'm often scared off-roading because I don't trust myself. But you can't let fear dictate your life and dictate you doing certain things that you want to do. So get out, get back out, dust yourself off, carry on going out on the bike. Accept you're going to be scared, but don't let the fear dictate your life, i.e. stop you from riding. Carry on, trust the process, and trust.
Indulge in holiday cravings with the nutrition you need from Kachava's All-in-One Whole Body Shake. It's 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Try their newest flavors, like the limited edition Chocolate Mint. With Kachava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to Kachava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, and use code FITNESS for 15% off.
That you will improve and you will get over this. But the only way to do that is to get back out on the bike and carry on. And I promise you, Oliver, I promise you, you will get all of your confidence back before you know it. So don't worry about the fear. Let it happen. Oliver, welcome to biking. And I'm so sorry you've had an off like that. I will add one more bit. I remember the first night I passed my test, I was heading off to my job. I had a night shift and I did almost have an off. I had a huge tank slapper coming around a bend on my very first night after passing. And that shook me as well. It happens, Oliver. I promise you it happens. Moving on. A winter hack. Oh, I like this. I want to hear your thoughts here. Are winter hacks a thing of the past? Take a listen. Freddie, having driven, this is from Ben, having driven for 18 years and approaching 36 years old, I found myself frequently unimpressed with new cars. The excess of technology and distracting screens alongside hybrid and electric powertrains are uninspiring. I was crying out for a simpler mode of transport that was exciting and, importantly, I would be able to return to doing my own maintenance. Yeah, Ben, I feel you here 100%. Exactly what I look for as well in a vehicle. Can I have a bit of fun tinkering with it? Such an important thing. I started a new job and I sat next to, and who would sit next to me but a long-time motorbike enthusiast, and I think you know where this is going. I passed my test and bought a Royal Enfield Continental GT 650 just 2 weeks ago. I had to sell my other mode of transport. Look at this picture. Maserati 2008 model Quattroporte, as I can't fit it on my drive. It's just too wide and pretty long, and unfortunately widening the entrance is a non-starter. Ben, I love the fact you even considered that. It was a sad day. That is a stunning car. Sad day this summer as I completed a 2,000-mile round trip with my grandfather. Wow, to see his dad's war grave in Italy, and I truly loved that car. So my question to you and the community is this. I love the Royal Enfield, but I have started to do some big miles and I'll be riding throughout winter. I'm fortunate enough to consider another bike, but what bike would you recommend for riding throughout winter for commuting and motorway mileage? It would be secondhand, budget of around £3,000, and I'd want to be able to do my own maintenance on the bike. Or is it a case of getting a bigger screen for the Royal Enfield, get some heated gloves, and save myself the £2,500, Ben, I know this, and buy a Jaguar X-Type all-wheel drive for those icier conditions. Ben, this takes me back. I'm right in thinking this, am I not? Jeremy Clarkson, Top Gear, he had this exact Jag X-Type all-wheel drive. And wasn't he skiing or something like that? He was on an icy lane in the UK with this Jag estate. And I'm sure he was skiing or something. That's definitely the car, I'm certain. So that's a great choice on car. I think that's excellent. I initially read your message, Ben, and I started looking at winter hacks. And then I thought, no. I've thought about this situation with my Bonneville here, and I realised that every bike since about 2008, relatively speaking, is now so well made with brilliant rust protection that you really don't need a winter hack anymore. Bikes are well made. They don't really rust that much at all. And if something rusts on a bike, It's usually just a screw here or there. You take the screw off, you replace it with another one. And you've got things like Lanigard and WD-40 to stop bikes rusting. I, for example, ride all year round. I haven't had any rust at all, pretty much not even one little speck of rust, on my past two motorbikes that have been 2008 and onwards. Or my old Japanese stuff from the 1990s, fine, yes, they rust. But nothing really. Nothing really in the past 15 years has rusted. So Ben, I personally, and I would mean this and say this to anyone, I don't think winter hacks are needed anymore. Rust-proof your bike in November, for example, with a Lanigard or something like that, spray it all over it. It's not going to rust. If you need a bit of wind protection, great. Like you said, get a screen, get some heated gloves if you need it. And that means you're saving £2,500 from a winter hack. You're saving all of the insurance, the road tax that you'd need for the winter hack, the maintenance, all of that kind of stuff. It means you've got that money to make sure your pride and joy is in tip-top condition. It's much more fun spending money maintaining your pride and joy and using it throughout the winter rather than a winter hack that maybe you don't care about, because you're going to be very reticent, very reluctant to spend money if you get, for example, a £600 bill with your winter hack. Just use your pride and joy. Those Royal Enfields, they're brilliantly made. They are made to be everyday modes of transport, Ben. I think the days of winter hacks are over. I really do. That's a bold statement I would love to hear from all of you. Are winter hacks now a thing of the past? Ben, thank you so much. And I love your taste in cars and bikes as well. Both of them, they are excellent, excellent things. Go and get the Jag. Imagine having a Jag in the Royal Enfield. That's perfect. Seriously, it's perfect. Right, on now to Dale. Dale, it's always a pleasure to hear from you. Across Europe, this is properly across Europe, in autumn, but fairly deep autumn here. Take a listen, enjoy the pics, get some inspo, hopefully, like I have. It's really incredible, this. Freddie, I decided to head east across Europe with my 2019. Bear in mind, this is the 54 horsepower Moto Guzzi V7 before they increased the horsepower to about 65. So, the old 2019 Moto Guzzi V7. Going abroad out of the summer months means less busy roads and cheap accommodation. Dale, yes, I discovered this too in the Jeep with my dad going to Romania. I like to challenge myself, and so I plan to visit 14 countries. My highlight was Mandello on Lake Como and the Moto Guzzi Museum. I have to do that one day. It took me 12 days and started with a ferry from Hull to Rotterdam on the evening of the 11th of October. I mean, this is really good going. Imagine leaving on the 11th. This is really when, for one, the weather turns, and secondly, the days are way, way shorter now. You're looking at sunset surely before 5 o'clock, before 6 o'clock here, definitely before 6. So on the evening of the 11th and the first stop just below Berlin, then Krakow, Poland, with a day trip to Lviv in the Ukraine the very next day. Wow! Then south through Slovakia to Hungary and a stop outside Budapest, then continuing to south to Rijeka on the coast of Croatia, which took me through Austria and Slovenia. From there I headed west to Mandello in Italy and a day trip to Switzerland. Then along the south coast of Italy and France to Marseille, then over to Andorra. God, some of those, you would be pretty close to the Pyrenees here then, Dale. Some of those roads could be really cold at that time. And finally, San Sebastian in northern Spain, close to the ferry at Santander, which I boarded on the 22nd of October, arriving in the UK the following day. I packed everything into my back box, as I like to travel light, and booked each night to stay the night before, getting some excellent deals. The Guzzi average, this is really impressive. The more I hear about Guzzis, the more impressed I am. These are such highly regarded bikes. All of the Moto Guzzis, they really know how to put a bike together over in Mandello. The bike was averaging 250 miles on a tank, and it was faultless and so comfortable over the 4,000 miles. Dale, thank you so much. What a trip, and it shows. You can head off still at this point and all the way over to Ukraine. You're not heading towards the sun here over in Ukraine. And also the fact you managed to get in, that's fantastic. Bike of the week. Rafał, over in Poland. Rafał, I got carried away with this. Really, really carried away. I got so excited by what I found. It actually started inspiring me for for what can be done. So thank you for sending this. Right, here goes. I'm really, really proud of myself. Prepare yourselves. Rafael in Poland. Freddie, after 15 years, I finally decided to come back to riding. I need to try and be sensible here, so I'm smiling, so I'm so proud. Come back to biking after a 15-year gap. My first choice of motorbike to bring me back to biking is a Triumph Bobber. But due to comfort issues, remember this, due to comfort issues in a small tank, it evolved to the Triumph Bonneville T120 Black. And here's a question for you. I'm looking for 5 to 6 year old models, and the price is the same for a brand new Royal Enfield Super Meteor 650. Would you care to compare them and share your thoughts? Thanks a lot. Greetings from Poland. Okay, Rafael, I'm going to do something slightly different here. First off, what's bringing you back to biking? It's one of the Triumphs. So, park the Royal Enfield thing aside. The reason you're looking at Royal Enfield is because you're trying to be sensible and level-headed, but it is your dream to get a Triumph. The Royal Enfields are great bikes, but even a six-year-old Triumph is still a better bike than that. And you want the Triumph. So this is why I'm going to push you towards the Triumph. The Royal Enfields are excellent bikes, and I would highly recommend it, but I can tell you want the Triumph. And I'm going to go one more than that. I'm also going to park, you may be shocked, the Bonneville T120 idea. Your main dream, getting you back into biking, is a Triumph Bobber. I want to try and make a Triumph Bobber doable for you, Rafael. So here is how it's going to work. The Triumph Bobber came out, I think, if I remember correctly, in about 2017, something like that. But in 2021, Triumph increased the tank size from 9 litres, that is tiny, and this, Rafael, is your issue with the bike, and it's the issue of a lot of people. The original Bobber has a 9 litre fuel tank. In 2021, that was increased to 12 litres. That is a huge difference. But what I'm going to do for you, Rafael, is hopefully ease your concerns about this bike. So, here is the bike I'm suggesting for you. Take a look at that. Rafael, is this not perfect? For me, this is the perfect spec here. This is a really controversial topic. My favorite setup for the Triumph Bobber is mini 8 bars, pictured here, and the forward foot controls. Look at where the foot controls are here, right at the front of the bike. I like this for comfort, aesthetics, and ergonomics. This is important. If a bobber's set up normally, anyone over about 5'11" is going to find it really cramped because the handlebars are down there and they're almost touching your legs. What the mini 8 bars do is they increase the size of the bike, hugely transformative. Your hands are then up there and your legs are spread out. I've done it in Tenerife. It's all day comfort. It's a total joy. On top of that, this is for me the best color combo you can possibly get on a bobber. Look at the color of that tank. Coupled with the brown seat, that beautiful exhaust, the bare metal engine, forward controls, mini apes with bar end mirrors, it's perfection. So there's the size done for you, Rafael. Now, that range, bear in mind, this will have a 9 litre tank. Rafael, don't you worry, I have sorted even this out for you. Now, I know this is a lot of money, I know, but I think the bobbers are worth it. They're significantly special enough bikes to warrant this. Obviously significant outlay, but bear in mind, bobber prices now are so appealing, this is going to make a huge difference. I found at renmotorcycle.co, I don't know what country this is from, apologies for that, but either way, renmotorcycle.co, they supply and they make a 14.5 litre petrol tank. And look at how amazing it looks. That will take it from 9 litres, i.e. far too small for any decent travels, up to 14.5 litres, which I believe is the same size as the Triumph T120 tank. So that gets rid of any issues at all with regards to the tank range. And it looks brilliant. It's perfect. It's a straight fit. So you buy this, £1,363, put it on your bobber. That will be transformative to the ownership experience. One other thing I'm going to do as well, Rafael, I want to just show you what you can get from Hepco and Becker. These are the same panniers as on my Triumph Bobber a Triumph Bob, a Triumph Bonneville, they are brilliant, and it means you can do proper length of travel. And look how good they look on the Bobber. So that's long distances sorted, that's comfort sorted, that's tank range sorted. It just shows, I get really excited by this stuff, because it shows that a lot of the time you need to follow your heart. Find the dream bike that gets you most excited. Raffle, you want to get into biking, I'm sure, not from a level-headed point of view. You want to get back to biking because it excites you. So what bike excites you more than any other? What gets the pulse racing? Triumph Bobber. Make the Triumph Bobber work. And that, Raphael, is how you do it. I hope that's been some food for thought. I have inspired myself. That sounds ludicrously big-headed. Thank you so much, everyone, for watching. I really hope you enjoyed the video. Have a brilliant week all. See you all in the next one.
Indulge in holiday cravings with the nutrition you need from Kachava's All-in-One Whole Body Shake. It's 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Try their newest flavors, like the limited edition Chocolate Mint. With Kachava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to Kachava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, and use code FITNESS for 15% off.